Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? We're back with another episode. How's it going, Lash?
What's going on, man, Pablo? We got an interesting week. We have a lot to get to between the AL East and the NL East, and then the continuation of these bad calls and decisions by umpires. So let's get into it.
All right, so let's get into it, man. The Mets are falling apart, brother. I don't know what happened, man. We won that last series with the Dodgers, and then after that, everything started crumbling. We lost the series with San Francisco, came back home, lost the series to St. Louis. We split a series with the Cubs, and there was a controversial call there. We could have probably won the series 3-1, but for some odd reason, the umps had something going on, and they called Mr. Alonso out at home when it obviously looked like he was safe, and that could have extended the game, and maybe we could have won that one, but we got robbed, and then we slipped into Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay just swept us, so we can't figure it out, You know, it's funny, because at the beginning of the year, everybody said that the pitching wasn't up to par, and we weren't going to be able to compete due to that, but they were wrong. The pitching is actually really good. They put something together that works, but our bats just went cold, and Alonso's not hitting, McNeil's not hitting, and we can't figure it out. You know, J.D. Martinez came in, and he showed us, you know, how important a player like that can be to a ball club, but everybody else is, you know, they froze up. Marte was out due to bereavement issues, and I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. We're starting to fall apart. We're starting to look like baby brother once again. The Yankees are doing well, and the Mets are back to usual business. It's sad. I thought we had a shot. You know, we played well against all these good teams, and the mediocre clubs we can't seem to beat. We stay competitive. The pitching always keeps us in the game. All these games are really close, but the bats, we're not hitting. We suck at home for some odd reason. It's funny. It should be the other way around. You know, when clubs come home, the energy that the fans give you, you know, you're playing at, you know, your field, and it should be the other way around. For some reason, we play better on the road than we do at home. What do you think about what I just said, Lasha? I mean, you know, you're looking from the outside in as well. So what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Why is it that the Mets are struggling? It might be like you were saying, maybe because, you know, New York is still kind of cold where they just came back from the West Coast. California is known to be warmer weather. So I don't know if it's that or it's just the comfortability of being out on the road or at home. It's very weird. Like you said, it's usually the other way around. But, you know, that play where Alonso was called out, that changed the momentum of that series. You know, if they had won that game, you would have taken 3 out of 4 from the Cubs. You would have looked high fly going into Tampa Bay. I don't care what anyone says, but when you lose a heartbreaking game like that, it does mess with your psyche. And I think that kind of brought the morale down for the team. And it just, I guess they just lackadaisical playing against Tampa Bay. And, you know, the frustrating thing about the Tampa Bay series, and you can attest to this, they were up in every single one of those games, I believe, except for maybe the game on Saturday. And they just lost the game. And like you said, the pitching has been for the most part, pretty good. It's just the offense is not showing up when it needs to. And that's a killer. You know, when your team is not showing up, and I don't know if it's they're trying to just hit home run balls when in reality they just need to hit small ball. And the thing I don't understand about losing to Tampa Bay is that Tampa Bay is an indoor stadium. It's not like they're out on the cold, and they're playing in a warm state. Yeah. So I don't know what happened, but I'm not going to worry about it. The season is a month. We're just a month into the season. But the reason why I think you are panicking and most Mets fans, because the division now has become a four-team race currently, with the Miami Marlins selling the best player to the Padres. And, you know, you got the Philadelphia Phillies in first place in the division. You got Atlanta, who's reeling a little bit. Surprising team in that division is the Washington Nationals. They're a 500 team. They're a team that everyone is thinking to be a rebuild team. But it's interesting. But like I said, baseball is one of the sports where we live day to day moment, because every day changes. You know, the game. You know, we live and die in the moment. You know, we get upset when our team loses. Like, oh, you know, your morale goes down. You know, but then you win tomorrow. It's like, oh my goodness, we're on top of the world. But so baseball is a live in the moment game, because every day there's a game. Where football, you live, or hockey, in football you live by the week. Where in baseball you live by the day. Same thing in hockey. You know, hockey, you live by the week. Yeah, you have three or four games. Same thing with basketball. So, you know, if you got four games in the whole week and you go, you know, 2-2, or 3-1, you're pretty happy about your team doing well, you know. But in baseball, it's not like that. You know, every series you lose brings you, or win, it brings you closer to either the lead, or brings you further away from, you know, losing, catching up to whoever the division leader is. In this case, it's the Philadelphia Phillies, which at the moment, you know, going into the season, I had Atlanta and Philadelphia as the two-team race for the NL East. And it's great to see that all four teams are in it. So the Mets are competitive. I'm not going to worry about it, but I don't blame you for being upset.
Yeah, the Mets, for some reason, they can't figure it out. It's really interesting. It's Alonso's bothering me, you know. Like, at this point in the race, I know it's early, but I feel like it's time to let go, Alonso. It's time to let him go. He has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. You know, this is the last year of his contract. He's playing for money at this point, and he's showing us that he's not clutch. You know, he's worried about things that he shouldn't be worried about right now. Play this season out. Get comfortable and do what you do best. But he's not doing that. And I see it. I see it. There's a lot of pressure on Alonso right now. He's trying to perform. He's trying to do well for the team. But in those pivotal moments in the game, he can't produce. I'm ready to let him go, to be honest with you. I think that we need to, like, keep the young guys around and build around them. You know, when you have great players on your team, you always say, all right, we have a good core, but we need to let go, because they've been around for a long time and it doesn't seem to be working out. You know, let's keep Beatty around. Let's keep Alvarez around. Let's keep Nimmo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All around, Nimmo is a very consistent player. You know, he comes in every day and he plays ball. McNeil, for some reason, he's hard on himself as well, and he's not figuring it out. It's horrible. I'm ready to let go of McNeil as well. You know, all these other guys that came in, all these other pieces, they seem to be working, but like our major core, like Alonso, McNeil, these guys, they're not producing. They're not doing, you know, what they're supposed to do. So it's almost like, all right, are you done with New York? Do you need to start fresh? I don't know what it is, but everybody said the pitching wasn't, you know, up to par at the beginning of the season. It's been the complete opposite. The bullpen has been there day in, day out. And the starting rotation has been great. We don't have Sengai in there. We just saw Christian Scott come up in his debut, and he was amazing. He was electric, and I loved it, you know. So I can see these young guys, you know, playing really good ball. And it took Beatty a long time to figure it out, but he's there now defensively, and he's hitting the ball. I think that we just need to, like, start fresh and get rid of the core. Lindor is even starting to hit the ball and helping us win games. But Alonso and McNeil, I think it's time for a reset for them. You know, I see a lot of players around the league that used to play for us, and for some reason, they always do better when they go elsewhere. You know, Conforto, Flores. There's a lot of players out there that shine when they leave the Mets, and it's disappointing. Is it the management? Is it the hitting coach? I don't know what it is. I just can't figure it out, but these guys, I think, have overstayed their welcome. And I think it's time to let them go. Unfortunately, of course, because the fan base loves these two guys. But I don't see it anymore. I don't see it. I don't see us winning a championship with them. I don't see it. And it's sad because you don't want to see these players go. You want to win a championship with these guys. These guys have been around forever. They're homegrown, you know. But I think it's time to let them go.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like I said, season's early. You know, a month from now, we could say, well, oh my goodness, look at this. Alonso's turned it around. McNeil's turned it around. You know, baseball's a slow cooking sport. You know, it takes a while. You know, once the weather gets hot, you know, warmer, the ball travels better. It's, you know, in New York, it takes longer for the weather to get warmer compared to here in the South, in Florida and Atlanta and Texas. So I understand your frustration. So it's easy to hit the panic button because it's right in front of you. And it's when you're angry and upset, that's the only thing you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be like, I don't want to wait, because, you know, you say, oh, well, if I wait, the longer you wait for these guys to get together, you could be already six games out of the division, and let alone you could be three games out of a wild card spot. And, you know, and then yeah. The question is can they bounce back if they're six games out of the wild card and 10 games out of the division? I don't know. It knows. And now the problem with the Mets is they are now officially under 500. Going into the series against the Cubs, they were above 500. And now they literally, just amazing how in a week you're already under 500. So I understand your frustration. I've been down that road as an Orioles fan, and even though the Braves, it's frustrating. Even the Braves, you know, they're above 500, but they had a horrible road trip and then like got shellacked in the LA and in Seattle for that matter. And the same thing with Atlanta, their offense is just not coming through, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, but those guys will figure it out. Those guys will figure it out. And you know, a lot of people say, yeah, it's early and you know, there's a lot of games left and it's only April, but April makes you. Look at the Phillies, for example. Phillies always end up ramping it up late and sneaking into the playoffs, right? But then they're an elite team. And this year it's been completely the opposite. You know, they're playing so well. Now they're to be honest with you, it looks like the Phillies want to take the division. I was watching the game today and they have an electric lineup, you know. They hit the ball hard and they're really smart. They steal and they do everything right. And you know, in the last 2 years, the Phillies have made the big show. And if they continue to play this way, they got hot early. And it takes them a while. In the last couple of years, it's taken them a while to like ramp it up and take it there. But this year, they're a completely different ball club. They're gelling and they're figuring it out early. And it shows. It shows. They're standing tall. And I'm proud of them. Listen, that's my division. I hate to say that I like the Phillies. I hate to say that I like the Braves. But those are really good teams. Those are really good teams. And I saw Walker pitch today, and I always said that letting Walker go was a mistake on the Mets' part. He's a really good pitcher. And I believe he won 12 or more games in his last year as a Met. And I always said, why did you let that guy go? That guy won a lot of games for you. And it's funny because, you know, he was frustrated when he went to Philly, and he didn't pitch a lot in the postseason. They didn't even give him a shot to really pitch in the postseason, you know, because for some reason he was like, you know, back burner type pitcher. But not in my eyes, I think he's electric. I think he commands, you know. But what can I say? The Phillies are doing great. Atlanta's trying to figure it out, and they're always going to be on top. And I think the race is right there, Philly and Atlanta, to get that division. But you never know. The Mets can sneak in. Maybe the Mets are the Phillies of last year, you know? Maybe they can sneak into the playoffs and then go for a nice little run. But it doesn't look like that now. Like I said, the pitching is excellent. Bullpen is excellent. Why can't we just figure it out? Why can't we figure it out? It seems like it's the same story every single year. And it hurts to watch them play. And I think that baseball is one of those sports where you get to see the players a lot more. So you kind of like go through their struggle. And it gets you, it's like you have like a really strong relationship with these guys because you get to see them on a daily basis versus like football when you get to see these guys once a week and, you know, you hope for the best and it's a shorter season. So it's more exciting. So if you imagine if you went down, if you lost three games in a football season, season is pretty much over, especially if you lose divisional games because you just end up at the bottom of the pile. And it's funny because the Mets haven't really played a lot of divisional games. We've only played Atlanta. And Miami seems to be figuring it out now. And we're not going to have a chance to just like run through them like everybody else did at the beginning of the season. It's going to be a lot harder for us to like see Miami now because they're starting to ramp it up and trying to figure it out, you know?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
But like you said, they gave away their best player and they're, you know, they put themselves out of the race. They're like 13 games back now and they gave up already. And it's only been the first month, you know. So now it's a four-team division, which makes it easier, right? You would think. But the Mets can't really, I don't think they have a shot. They can't figure it out. And I think it's time to like truly rebuild and get rid of the core players. Now we have to rebuild around the young cast. And maybe these older players that have been around for 5-6 years, it's time to let them go. I think it's time to let them go.
Well, looking at the standings right now, just looking at the wild card, the Mets are only one game behind in the wild card standings. And that's the nice thing about having extra teams because now allows you to have ability to still stay alive. So who knows what 2 months from now happens, but I don't know. Hopefully they'll figure it out. But going back to the Mets, there was another controversial call by the umpires. Pete Crow Armstrong, he's a former prospect of the New York Mets. They traded for him to Chicago for the Javier Baez trade a couple years ago in the trade deadline. Anyway, in the game against the Mets the other day, Pete Crow Armstrong had stole second base, and he ended up taking his helmet off his head because he knew his body was going to miss the plate. So what he did was he took his helmet off and placed it on top of second, and the umpires called him safe. And last time I checked, in order to be safe, a body part has to be on the plate. last time I checked, a helmet is not part of your body.
Exactly.
Because the helmet is detachable from your head. So the fact that they called them safe was interesting. I don't know why they did that. Last time I checked, the rules state up. Your body has to be on top of it, not a jersey or, you know, a physical body part has to be on the plate. So yeah, I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, imagine a guy running, trying to steal second, right? And he's like, wow, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to need an extra 2 inches. And he pulls off his helmet and uses that to slide into the base. And they call that safe. That's insane to me. And it happens. Like, these umps this year have been ridiculous. I agree. It's been happening all over the league. The officiating has been horrible. And it really makes me angry. You know, these little pivotal moments in these games, you know, where we could take a series and we lose it because of things like that are insane to me. We shouldn't be having these problems when this game is over 100 years old, you know? It should be really easy for these umps to say, that's not allowed. But for some reason, I don't know what's going on in the league. It's weird. A lot of, you know, interesting calling. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, it was another interesting case in the New York Yankees game. Aaron Boone, you know, he's been known for kind of barking at the umpires. He's notorious for that. You know, yeah,
he's vocal.
Yeah. A couple years ago, there was a situation where you heard him on the hot mic and he said, this team is made of a bunch of savages. You know, players love that when your coach gets behind you and supports you. And as a fan, that's what you want. You want to see your manager stick up for your team in, you know, bad call situations. And because he's been tripping at the umpires, they're on to him. So now they kind of given him a short leash. So anytime he says anything, they're trigger happy and going to want to throw him out. So what happened the other day, Aaron Boone was chirping about the balls and strikes, and the umpire, you know, kind of gave him a warning, say, hey, come on, you know, quiet down, be quiet. So Aaron Boone just, you know, said, okay, put his hands up, said, I'm not going to say nothing. Well, after that, there was a fan behind the dugout on the Yankee side, and he was barking at the umpire, and the umpire didn't know at the moment. He just thought it was Aaron Boone that was barking at him, and Hunter Wendelstadt, he had a quick trigger and just had enough. Say, you're out of here. Threw him out. And Aaron Boone came out. I was like, I didn't say nothing. You could hear on the mic, I didn't say nothing. That was the guy behind the dugout. He's a fan, blah, blah, blah. You know, Hunter Wendelstadt later came out and said, you know, I don't care who said it. He's like, I can't throw out the player if he says something. You know, you're supposed to be control what your players say and, you know, things like that. You know, so what happens is people don't realize in baseball, every time a manager gets thrown out, they get fined a pretty heavy, it's like $5,000, $10,000 fine for every time you get tossed. You know, it's a penalty. But Major League Baseball did the right thing. They reviewed the play and realized, okay, Aaron Boone did not say anything. We're not going to penalize him. But what makes me mad is Hunter Wendelstadt didn't say, you know what, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. He stuck his ground and said, I don't care. I did the right thing in his eyes. And throughout the Aaron Boone, which is crazy because it's like, if that's the case, then even if a manager wants to come and defend his player, you know, the other day, Aaron Judge got a ball that was clearly a ball and it was called a strike, and Aaron Boone was upset because the umpire threw out Judge, and all Judge said to the umpire was like, come on, man, what kind of pitch is that? That was outside. Why'd you throw me out? Why'd you call a strike? And Aaron Judge got a little heated. And Aaron Boone, you can tell the way he was out there, he didn't even like bother to put up a fight because he just got thrown out recently and he didn't want to get thrown out again. So he just kind of like tucked his, you know, bite on his tongue and just said, okay, I guess you're right, but you're not right. You know what I mean? And I don't know what it is with these umpires. I don't know if they got short fuses or they just don't want to do it, whatever the case is. No, don't get me wrong. These umpires aren't like, they're getting pretty paid well, not as well as these players. But either way, you know, you're getting paid to officiate an official major league game, you know, and that has, you know, ramifications based on your calls. And it's just not looking good. So if I'm the Major League Baseball, what I would start doing is they need to start holding these umpires accountable. Anytime they make a poor decision or poor call, they need to be fined, just the way a manager is fined when he argues with the ump. So
I agree.
If the umpire makes a bad call and he doesn't own up to it, or they don't fix the box score because of it, okay, Angel Hernandez, $20,000 because, you know, you made a bad call and, you know, you cost the team a game, and fix it. You know what I mean? I think if you start holding these umpires accountable, you can have less interactions with the managers, and players are not going to want to bark at the umpires, or they're going to have a more civil conversation because they know, okay, he's not going to throw me out right away. I can talk to him and say, hey, what's going on? And I'm willing to listen to what his point of view was on a call. But now they can't do that because it's the umpire's way or the highway, unfortunately.
That's how it is.
That's not fair.
That's exactly how it is. And it bothers me because, you know what? A classy player like Aaron Judge has never, ever had a problem. And look what happens. Even a classy player like Aaron Judge is saying, what the hell are you doing? And he's getting in trouble for his actions. He's not wrong for that. He's not wrong for that. He's frustrated. He's upset. You know, when you go up to bat and you're there to help your team and you know that you were played in that fashion, it bothers that player because you know the player did the right thing. Now he's walking back to the dugout saying, I'm sorry, guys. You know, he shouldn't be apologetic. He shouldn't be apologetic. You want me to swing at that trash? That was trash. That was ball four. I should be on first right now, and I'm walking back to the dugout. Of course he's upset. Not only does that mess with his numbers, it messes with his psyche, you know? So now, let's say that pitcher, you know, is still on the mound when he comes back around. So is he forced to swing at that trash because he called it a strike last time? So we would hope that the umpire is consistent and calls that a strike as well. Because now I feel like I have to swing at this. I have to swing at this because the ump is calling that a strike. That's wrong. That's wrong. You would hope that the foundation of the game is intact, right? You would hope that things like that don't happen on a daily basis, but it's happening all over the league. And it's funny how, you know, they have these umps playing different positions on a daily basis. So, you know, God forbid the home ump is betting on games and calling, you know, ball strikes to, you know, make his pockets fat, you know. So they rotate these umps on a daily basis and they move them around and they don't even know where they're going to be officiating next because of that problem. Because you don't want to see that problem. You don't want to say, all right, this ump is, you know, fixing games. So they rotate these umps, you know, everybody gets a chance to, you know, call balls and strikes on a daily basis. And it doesn't matter who's behind the plate. The percentages are really low and it's bad for the game. I'm ready for the AI. I'm ready. And like I said, you should get rid of the strike zone for that. You know, when we're watching games at home and we have that strike box, you know, that strike zone on the television and they're calling outside the box, it bothers you. So just get rid of the box altogether and let the umpire decide where the strike zone is for that day. And then the players can adapt to it and their second and third time around, they can, you know, adjust to it. It's really horrible. It's horrible. I feel like this is like the worst year for officiating in baseball. I've never seen it so bad. It's really bad. And let's talk about what happened. A Hall of Fame pitcher, Mr. Palmer, right? What happened with C.B. Buckner the other day? Let's talk about that. That's your team, right? I know you watched that game. Let's talk about how he, struck out Gunnar Henderson. Let's talk about that, Lash.
Yeah, so in the game, there was three pitches that were thrown clearly outside the strike zone, and Buckner called him out. Basically, it said 1, 2, 3. You know, it's three strikes, and Gunnar Henderson was upset, and you know, caught Brandon Hyde. There's nothing he could do. You know how they say, you know, if they don't allow you to argue balls and strikes, so what's the point of coming out there? And you know, if you know you're gonna get tossed. But Jim Palmer, the Orioles announcer and Hall of Famer, he was like, "This is ridiculous how these umpires are getting away with calling bad pitches outside the zone, calling them strikes, or you know, strikes that clearly are ball, or you know, ball that's a strike. You know, it's like make up your mind, umpires. Like, what is what? We don't even know what's what anymore. So, like I said, now players are up there at the bat. They're swinging." To protect, even if they know that the ball is going to be going outside and all the way down in the dirt. But what are you supposed to do? The ball could bounce. Is the umpire going to be like, yeah, that's a strike, even though the ball bounced 7 times, you know, to the plate. Who knows? So it's frustrating. But like I said, the umpires need to figure it out. Baseball needs to start holding these umpires accountable because this is going to happen in a playoff series. And it's going to cost the team a championship or a division. Who knows? And they need to nip it in the butt. I'm glad it's happening now and not late in the season. Because if it's late in the season or it's in the playoffs, you know, you could cost somebody, you know, a championship. But anyway, with that being said, speaking of championships, you know, there's a favorite coming into this year, the Los Angeles Dodgers. They just got back one of their star pitchers. His name is good old Walker Buehler. I didn't realize this, Pablo, but he's been out for 2 years.
Yeah,
he had a Tommy John surgery, which is weird because most people Tommy John surgery is a year. You're usually out for a year, not 2 years. So I guess he had a lot of setbacks during that year, so they sat him out another year. But manager Dave Roberts is excited to get him back. He's another arsenal to add to their plethora of pitching staff that they have. And you know, I've always enjoyed watching his games. I think he's great. Like I said, he's a homegrown talent. They drafted him. So it'll be interesting. They need him back, which is good. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. In 2021, he finished with a record of 16-4 with an ERA of 2.47 over 207 innings pitched that year.
Yeah, he's an innings eater. Yes.
Yeah, and it's good because if you have a guy who can pitch 6-7 innings, guess what? You save your bullpen. You save your closer. And, you know, the Dodgers don't have an amazing closer, let's be honest. They don't have a Kenley Jansen like they had like years ago, who is, you know, pretty reliable. But Buehler's in the minor leagues. He's doing his rehab assignments in AAA. And so far he's, what, 0-2 with a 4.15 ERA and 21 strikeouts over 20 2/3 innings. But like I said, it's just rehab. I wouldn't worry about it, you know. When you haven't pitched for 2 years, that's a long time. And just throwing side sessions, that's not the same as throwing against live hitters. So it's going to take them a while to get, you know, warmed up and Luke, you know. But a team like LA, they can afford to let him take his time because they're so good. They have a great pitching rotation. Their offense is really good. So it's like, hey, don't rush. Why rush the guy if he's not ready? It's not like a team like the Mets or even like the Yankees who need starters. Like the Yankees really need Cole to come back because without Cole, that rotation is going to suffer greatly, you know. So when you're the Dodgers and you have a plethora of pitching staff and you can get away with, you can allow your star to take his time and, you know, figure himself out. But anyway, I'm not worried about it. But what's your thoughts about Walker Buehler coming back? You think it's a good addition for them, or how do you think he's going to do?
I totally do. I think that the team is great as it is. All right, and then with the addition of Buehler coming back, they're even more dangerous. All right, so they have so many options. It drives me crazy. They spend their money well. They have amazing talent, and they're a scary ball club. And imagine if Buehler can come in a postseason situation and make the team better.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Give them options. Imagine if you can split a start with Yamamoto and Buehler. Because you can do that kind of stuff over there because you have so much talent. All right. And imagine if they don't make it this year, right? They're only going to get better. And they don't really have to look outside because you know, they have Ohtani coming back to the mound next year. And then you have Buehler, Yamamoto. There's so many options over there. You know, this is a team, it's like the Rangers. Like I was telling you the other day, the Rangers have so many options as well. The longer it takes for Scherzer and DeGrom to come back, and if Cueto ends up working out for them, they're going to be lethal in a postseason situation because you don't even have to go to the bullpen. When you have so many options, if you have a five-man rotation and you have amazing starters like Buehler that are on the sidelines and he can come in and contribute to a ball club, it's over. Forget about it. It's over. It's over. You know, you want to have that type of problem in your ball club. You know, you want to say, I don't know what to do because I have so many options. That's a great problem to have. And I think he, you know, if he comes back and he does what he's supposed to, they're even more dangerous than we thought prior to having him. And it's scary. It's really scary. And then you have one of your guys just come back as well. We had
two guys actually come back.
You had Kyle Bradish, right? He was just reinstated from a 15-day injury list, right? And he made his season debut on Thursday, and they won 7-2 over the Yankees. You guys took that series, which is impressive, you know? I know you guys are better than the Yankees. You guys are collectively better. I think that you have a better ball club. But, you know, the championships and, you know, the Yankees, you know, they're like the American League version of the Dodgers, you know? Yeah, they don't have the pitching, but they have all this talent, and, you know, they can win games in a heartbeat, you know? If you don't score runs in the Yankees, they can always beat you in the late innings because they're a scary ball club. But I think the Orioles as a whole have a better ball club than the Yankees. And you proved it because you just won 3 out of 4 against the Yankees. And it's not easy to do that. Especially you guys played in the Bronx, right?
So that game was in Baltimore. It was a 4-game series in Baltimore.
It was in Baltimore.
Yep, they took 3 out of 4. Bradish looked like his old self from last year, so it was great to see. He started the year, and then he had a issue, UCL, minor injury, and they sat him. But he came back looking good. They also got John Means back, who pitched yesterday, and he went 7 innings, allowing 3 hits and 8 Ks. And he's been gone about 2 years now, too. Wow. It's been about like 2 or 3 years removed since he had that a no-hitter in Seattle a couple years ago. So I was worried about John Means more than Bradish just because Means a little bit older. I know what he could do, but he had a great game against – John Means had a great game against Cincinnati. So if those two guys are what they think we can be, man, that's a dangerous rotation, especially Baltimore just lost Grayson Rodriguez. He was the number one star pitcher and he's been great for this year. He's out for a couple weeks. I think it's a 15-day IL stint. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But, man, Burns, Bradish, Means, and Grayson Rodriguez, and Cole Irvin, he's a under-the-radar guy who's been doing great. He wasn't good last year. Cole Irvin came over last year in free agency from the Oakland Athletics, and he was awful last year with Baltimore. I was like, why did they make him a starter this year? He's awful. He's just going to give up runs. He's gone 19-plus innings without giving up a run, Cole Irvin. So it's been a surprise to see him do well. That was my biggest concern coming into the year. I know we spoke during the preseason, and I was saying, I don't know, man. I just think the Yankees have a better rotation. But I could be wrong. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe Baltimore has a better rotation than the Yankees. I don't know. I just look at the names, and they just have better names than the Orioles. But what do I know? So it's exciting. It'd be good to see. But going back to your team, the Mets, man, they just called up their best starting pitching prospect, Christian Scott.
He was
down in Syracuse.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It makes me smile. Like I said, we had a horrible, you know, series against Tampa Bay, but Christian Scott came in, and I'm going to be honest, I read the numbers. I saw what he was able to do downstairs, and since the Mets are going to be playing 26 games in 27 days, they needed to bring him up to, you know, give the rotation a break. This guy is electric. This guy throws mean stuff, and he's young, he's talented, and at first when I tuned in, and I'm like, wow, he's throwing really hard, and Tampa Bay was catching it early on in the game, but he settled in, and he was able to survive, and wow, I'm impressed. It's one of those things I was just finished talking about where it's like, now we have problems. You know, we have Senzel coming back, Severino had an amazing outing the other day. Manea's pretty awesome. You know, I think as it gets warmer, you know, Manea used to play out in the West Coast, and I think that he's the type of pitcher that plays better in warmer weather. And like I said, the pitching is not the problem in New York. It's not the problem. So having an addition like Christian Scott come in and be lights out, he's definitely the future of the ball club. He's not going nowhere. He reminds me of DeGrom. They were comparing him to DeGrom and Dwight Gooden during his first outing. He had numbers like that in his first outing. He was really electric. And
it's pretty amazing to be compared to Dwight Gooden.
Yeah. I like it. He has a future with the ball club. This is something that, you know, you can't say, or we can't get rid of this guy. There's no way we can get rid of this guy. This guy is going to be here for the next 10 years. All right, hopefully he doesn't blow out his arm because he's throwing really hard, you know. He reminds me of a young DeGrom. And let's just hope that he figures it out. I think he needs a little bit more of a, he needs a nice little off-speed, you know, to balance out what he's throwing. But he's throwing really hard, and I like it, you know. Hauser has been doing well for us. I believe we just put him in the bullpen. We lost Rally because he's hurt right now. But our bullpen has been great, and Christian Scott is going to be a great addition to the rotation. You know, and when we get Senzel back and we have Christian Scott, we have Severino doing what he's doing now, I think that our pitching is pretty locked in when it comes to the season. I mean, next year we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do. But right now, for the moment, we can be competitive if we figure out the hitting. But Christian Scott, salute to you, brother.
Yeah, I think it's been a while since they had the last big pitching prospect that the Mets had that everyone was drooling over. Was Jacob DeGrom, and don't forget Matt Harvey and Noah Syndergaard. So it's been a while since they had a pitcher to that they can hopefully have for the next 10 years. I'm excited to see how he does. Who knows? He could be your ace of the future, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how he does. I think he's starting out great. Did he get the win against Tampa Bay? Do you know?
That day, I believe we lost. We lost that game. We lost that game as well. We got swept by Tampa Bay. But it was a good start for him. I think he pitched over 7 innings, I believe. He did really well. And I think he had like 6-7 Ks. He's going to be the future of the ball club. He's definitely a number one in my eyes, you know. He's young, and he can only get better. But you know what I really want to talk about, which is really interesting to me? Something that has been missing from the game for a while now, and that's the stealing, right? So Ronald Acuna Jr., which you get to see live, you know, whenever you get a chance to go out to the stadium, because you're pretty close to that stadium out there in Truist Park, right?
Yep.
Ronald Acuna Jr. is one of those amazing players that doesn't forget what the ball game is all about. If Ronald gets a hit, you might as well call it a double, because he is going to steal second. He's a threat. And this is how you produce runs, all right? In my eyes, I think he should be top of the order. But there's this guy named Eli De La Cruz that plays for Cincinnati who is trying to outdo Acuna Jr. right now. All right, so last year, right, Acuna hits over 40 plus home runs and steals 70 plus bases, right? And now, in the first month of baseball, Eli De La Cruz is trying to outdo Mr. Acuna Jr. And it's pretty amazing. These are electric players. These are players that change the game. All right. You don't want to, it's hard to pitch to these guys because you don't want to allow them to get on base. Because once they get on base, they're going to steal their booties off. They're going to get crazy on you, you know, and it's hard for a pitcher because, you know, when there's no one on base, a pitcher can take his time and has a different type of delivery. But once there's a player on base that can steal, you have to pitch a lot faster and you have to change your delivery based on who's on first. Because, you know, if you take too long to deliver, this guy is going to pretty much walk over the second. And this is what the game is all about. You know, the little things that we haven't seen in years are coming back to the game and making the game a lot more interesting and fun to watch. You know, the stealing, the bunting, all these little things that make the game interesting that have been missing from the game in a long time. It's not about hitting home run and hitting the ball hard. It's about doing the little things to make your ball club better and help your ball club win, you know? And a lot of these young guys are remembering these little aspects of the game that make the game really important, you know?
No, definitely. And you know, it's amazing thing about L.A. De La Cruz is that he's 6'5", whereas Ronald Acuna is 6'. There's not too many 6'5" guys and up that are fast. Look at Judge. Look at Giancarlo Stanton. They're not fast. O'Neill Cruz, they're not that fast, you know. So that's why it's more impressive with him than Ronald Acuna. Ronald Acuna is only 6'. And also, you know what plays a factor into why there's a high rate in stealing? Is one, these guys are faster. Two, they created the bases are a lot bigger than last year, so that creates the distance is shorter. But they did that on purpose to make the game a little bit more exciting. Because, you know, baseball is known to be, oh, it's a boring, it's a sport, a game that you can go to. Baseball is for meetings. If you want to have a work conference or, you know, talk about other issues or whatever the case is, because you're not going to miss anything. Now, you got to watch out when Acuna gets on base or when L.A. De La Cruz gets on base or Fernando Tatis. You know darn well he's going to...
They're going to try.
I would say there's a 70% chance that they're going to try to steal a base. And most of the time, they do. And they know they're going to get it. And there's nothing you can do. When you got a guy like L.A. De La Cruz who's fast, man, and that length, oh, not hard that crazy. Is for a pitcher to get him out or an infield to get him out. So, yeah.
It's crazy, yeah. He finished the first month of baseball with 8 homers and 18 steals, all right? He's on pace to hit 42 home runs and 94 stolen bases. That's insane to me, okay? That's insane to me. He's 22. And he's changing the game, all right? These are the players that are really coming up and changing the game and remembering how it used to be, all right? How long has it been since you've seen a player do something like that, all right? He's hitting for power, and he's stealing bases like it's the easiest thing on the face of this earth. It's not easy to steal. It's not easy to steal. Think about it. This guy is the future of that ball club as well. We're starting to see a lot of young players come up and change the game. And, you know, You fall in love with these players that, you know, been around the league for a while, 5, 6 years, and these players, you know, they're the core of your ball club. But now, you know, a losing ball club is starting to bring up all these young players, and it's starting to balance out the playing field, you know. Every team has something, all right, that they can build around. But a player like De La Cruz is, oh man, I wish, you know. You know, we do have a player like that. We have Mauricio, right? Ronnie Mauricio. He got hurt in the offseason, and he was unable to come and contribute this year. But last year, towards the end of the season, I started to see how the ball club was changing and how we were moving forward. It's too bad he got hurt, you know, and we don't have him this year. But once he comes over, we're going to have to make a lot of decisions and figure out who's sticking around. But the future of the ball club is bright for Cincinnati, the Mets, and Baltimore is showing that as well. You know, the younger a ball club gets, the better they get. And they'll be able to compete, you know, with the likes of the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers like to spend money and get all these high caliber players, but I'm starting to notice that it's not about that anymore. You know, those ball clubs have a short window to win championships. But a team that has a lot of bright young stars like Baltimore, Cincinnati, they're going to stick around for a while. Once they get hot, it's going to be really hard to take them down. And like I said, once I feel like when Baltimore starts to take over and they take over that division, because it's going to happen very shortly, it's going to be really hard to take them down. Because they have so much talent and they're young. And you guys aren't spending a lot of money to keep these guys around. It's going to take, you know, it's going to be a while before, you know, you're going to have to start spending money on these guys because they're young.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know? So, watch out, Yankees, and watch out, Toronto. You know, Toronto had a window, and for some reason, they couldn't figure it out. You know, they have all these amazing ball players, you know, offsprings of great talent back in the day, you know. And when I saw that team get put together, I said, oh, my God, I think they have a shot. But no, excuse me.
Yeah, Toronto has three players that are sons of former major league greats, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, and Cabin Biggio, you know, Craig Biggio's
son.
So that was a team everyone had. I was like, man, they're going to be good. They got a young team, and they hit for power, and for some reason they have the same problem. They just can't get the starting staff figured out. I don't know what it's going to take. The best pitcher for Toronto this year is Barrios. He came over from the Minnesota Twins. He's been their best ace this year. Gausman just got back from injuries. I think he was their ace at the time. So it's interesting how they do. But speaking of baseball, one of the faces of baseball, the great Mike Trout, the center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels, got hurt on Monday's game in their 6-5 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. He tore his meniscus in his left knee, I believe. And the manager of the Angels said that he'll go under surgery. He'll go under for surgery immediately, but he did not say it's season ending. So there's a very good chance he could come back in the second half.
Yeah, now, he's having a great season.
Yeah. And now, let's be honest, I don't think the Angels are a playoff contender, but who knows? Ron Washington's a great manager. I love that guy. I would never discount his team out because Ron Washington, his teams play hard. They don't give up. He produces some of the best infielders with his drills and how to catch the ball. So I wouldn't count him out, but I have such sympathy for Mike Trout. He's been an upstanding ball player and a citizen outside the game. He's always said he wants to play for one team, but man, he's been on a horrible team for years and years. Even with Ohtani, they couldn't do anything.
If I'm him,
you know, he's probably got another 5, 6, 7 years to go. I'd say, listen, get me the heck out of here.
Yeah,
let me go to a winning team. Let me go to the Mets or either Yankees somewhere because
I can contribute. He's got to win a championship. Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to be like the Charles Barkley of baseball. Great player. Just never could win a trip, or like Dan Marino of the Dolphins. Great teams, but could not win a great quarterback, but could not win
a championship.
So I don't want to see that happen. I love Trout, and you know I'm a little more biased towards him. He's a Jersey boy, as I am too. So I got a lot of love for him. I just want to see him do well, and it hurt to see him get hurt.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad. I was just about to say the same exact thing. You took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like Trout needs to go somewhere else and contribute and win a championship. You know, a lot of people around the league, you know, consider him like one of the greatest players of the game. And he's never going to win a championship if he sticks around. He needs to move. He needs to move, you know. And any team around the league would take him in with open arms. And it's sad. It's really sad because he is the truth. He is. But it's okay. You know, he wants to stay there, and he loves the fan base there, and he doesn't want to wear another jersey. And, you know, that's up to him. It's up to him.
Yeah, I respect it. Like I said, I'm pulling for him. I want him to do great. You know, he's all around class, and I've never heard of a controversy with Mike Trout. He's the Derek Jeter of the Angels, man. Always has class. Never made the game about himself. And I'm pulling for him, and I hope he bounces back. And if I'm the Angels, man, seriously, question I've been always thinking about: if you're the Angels and you're not contending, which you're probably not, why don't you trade him? You know how much assets you could get? Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
you trade him to like the Dodgers. I know you don't want to see this.
Oh my God!
But they got a plethora, he's a team that has a plethora of a farm system that they can steal from, or like Baltimore even, because Baltimore has a lot of good prospects. The Dodgers have any team that has a lot of good farm system. I would trade to that team, and you know, a playoff contender, because it's great. It'd be sad to see a great talent like Trout not win a chip, and he's been. It's just. I want to see him win. That's one player I've been rooting for a long time. Anywhere but the Angels would be great. So with that being said, who is our gunslinger of this week? Do you know, Pablo?
The gunslinger of this week. We have Bryce Miller. 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 10 Ks. Against who? The mighty Atlanta Braves, winning 2-1. I think he deserves the pitcher of the week, gunslinger of the week, master of the week. That's the guy that we have on board this week. He's pretty amazing. That's a pretty good start, no?
Yeah, no, it was he pitched against Max Fried. It was a pitching duel, and
it was.
They both pitched great. It's just, you know, we give these awards to the pitcher that won also. And he just had a better performance, and it was a tight game. And the Seattle Mariners got a young pitching prospect.
Yeah, they do. Like we said earlier, there's a lot of young talent out there, and nobody speaks about them. But this guy could definitely sell a lot of jerseys. He's on his way. And how about the hit of the week? Who do you have up there for that?
So we got Oakland Athletics, the surprising team that's doing well.
Yeah, they are.
Of the American League West. Brent Rooker is his name. He hit a pair of home runs, a 2-run shot off Marlin starter Trevor Rogers. The ball traveled about 447 feet, which is pretty far.
And by the way, he did this in the same inning. 2 home runs in the same inning, all right? So, you know, they went around twice for him to be able to do that, right? It's pretty
crazy. Like a merry-go-round.
Yeah, it's like a merry-go-round. It's like, what is going on? It's pretty insane, right? And These guys beat the Marlins 20-4, right? The game took 3 hours and 23 minutes, right? This past Saturday. And it rained, all right? So that was probably another reason why it took so long for the game to end. But to be able to go around twice in one inning and for this guy to be able to hit two home runs in the same inning, it's insane to me, all right? So he definitely won that award on our side. How could he not, right? It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. You know, the young talent, once again, it's out there. You just have to watch. You just have to watch, man. So we're coming to like the end of the show, right? And we usually like to give Lasha a nice little trivia question to see if we can figure it out. It's getting harder and harder for him. Let me see if we can figure this out. And it's going to be interesting. I want to see if we can pull this off. So the question is, what team set the record for most wins in a season in 2001? 2001 was a very interesting year. There was a lot of great pitching, a lot of, you know, interesting things happening in the league. And I want to see if you can figure this out. Who was the team to set the record for most wins in a season in 2001?
The team that comes to mind, I'm not sure, you might have to correct me. They reside in the AL West, I believe. And maybe. They play in the Great Northwest. They play in one of the best cities in the world. They're known for their coffee. I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners.
Wow. 100% correct. I don't even know how you pulled that off. I know you're a great baseball mind, but yeah. Do you know how many wins?
I think it was about like 112.
116 and 46. You were super close, right? Behind them, we had the Yankees, who played really well that year too. This is a season that was pretty incredible because, once again, for a team to win 116 games in a season, that's like winning almost every day. You understand that? These guys are eating steak every day, all right? 116 and 46, right? Then you had the Yankees at 95. And 65. How crazy is that, right? Then you had the Indians, 91 and 71. And you think that's amazing? How about the Oakland A's, 102 and 60? What type of season was that, right? And that's just the American League. Then you had the Houston Astros, who were in the National League at that time, because, you know, they play for the American League now. At 93 and 69. Then you had the Diamondbacks, who had Schilling and Randy Johnson, right? At 92 and 70. I think those guys combined, they won, I don't know, over 20 games easily, right? The Braves in that era were really good, right? They held down the division for, I think, 15 years in a row. They were 88 and 74. A team like that now is spectacular, right? But look, you know, look at the other records that we just finished talking about. And the Cardinals, who, you know, baseball country, 93 and 69. Do you remember who won the World Series that year? Because you would think, right, that the Mariners at 116 and 46 would take it all, right?
Nope, but it was the Bronx Bombers of New York.
Nope, you're wrong. The Bombers went to the World Series, right? They were able to take out the Mariners, right, in the ALCS. But the Diamondbacks took it all that year. They were able to beat the Yankees in 7 games and win the championship.
And Arizona was like a fairly new team. They had been around for maybe like 3 or 4 years, not even.
Yeah. They were new. They were new.
You know, but Seattle team, they had the likes of Edgar Martinez, John Olerud, Brett Boone, the brother of Aaron Boone, Mike Cameron. You remember Mike Cameron?
One of the best Mets players.
Yeah. And the great Japanese player, Ichiro Suzuki.
Exactly.
That was an exciting
team. Yeah, that was a really good ball club. Yeah,
Jeff Nelson, I remember him. I think he was a pitcher. But yeah, it's just crazy how you can win that many games. That just tells you why, you know, just tells you the regular season is a crapshoot. the playoffs start, everything gets wiped away, and you know, the team that is the last wild card team could go on a run. Yeah, you know, stand in basketball, you know, the Phillies, or a couple years ago in basketball with the Miami Heat, they were a wild card team and they went all the way to the finals. So it just tells you, you can't, records and wins in the regular season don't mean anything. You know, I mean, you win 100 plus games, what does it get you? Look at Arizona.
It gets you to the postseason. It gets you to the post, and then it's a reset after that.
Yeah.
It's a reset, but getting to the postseason is the most important thing. And these guys have solidified their postseason run, you know, really early on. Think about it. A team that wins 116 games in a season, they're feeling good the whole way through. All right? And they make it to the ALCS, and then the Yankees come out of nowhere, knock them out. But the Yankees wearing the tough ones. I like to see stuff like that, you know. I like to see. But when you have a duo like, you know, these two, Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, like, are you crazy? Like, of course, you know, you place one in game one, you place the other in game two, you run around 3-4, and you know what's funny about that series? Because I looked it up. I'm not a great baseball mind like you are. But these guys, you know, they had the 2-3-2 system back in the day. And at home, the teams that were playing at home, for example, they played the first two games in Arizona, I believe, right? And Arizona won those two games, right? Then they went to Yankee Stadium, I believe, and the Yankees won all three games, all right? So nobody won. The traveling team never won a game. How crazy is that?
The away team never won away games. All the home teams won their games at home.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's amazing for the fan base, right? That's amazing for the fan base. You spend all that money on a postseason game and your team wins. You leave the stadium feeling great, right? Definitely. But that's what happened. They went seven games and Arizona won the first two games at home. They traveled to Yankee Stadium. The Bombers were able to knock them out three games in a row. And then they had to travel back to Arizona. And Arizona said, nope, we're going to take this. And they won the last two. So it went seven games, and Arizona ended up taking that. Love it. Doesn't get any better than that if you think about it.
No, it doesn't. It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive, right? But so, you know.
It's crazy to think that Seattle, that Ken Griffey Jr. was already out of Seattle. He was already in Cincinnati by then, which is crazy. I think he left in like 99. And Ken Griffey, man, he's a legend in my opinion. And,
of course. I think he was the only guy in that race. Remember the race? The Maguire, Sosa, and Griffey race? He was the only guy that didn't dope up, in my eyes. You know, because, you know, there's an asterisk there and whatever. But I think out of all those players, and it's funny because if you looked at the way these guys were hitting the ball out and the bodies that these guys had. Sosa had an amazing body. He was so big, you know, so it was pretty easy for that guy to, you know, kill that ball. Maguire, too. But Griffey was a really slim guy. He had great mechanics, you know, and he was able to compete in that race, which is pretty insane, you know. He wasn't a big guy. He just knew how to hit the ball, you know. But we're coming to the end of the show. And, you know, if you have any questions, any comments, you know, you can look us up at strikeoutbros@gmail.com. And we're going to have a special edition episode coming up. And it's going to be sort of like a proposal for, you know, a shorter season and how to make that interesting. And we'll see you really soon. Have a good night. See you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.